Welcome to Al Berman Live from a studio apartment in North Hollywood, California. This is episode 19. And what you just heard is my brand new flute. Brand new. I bought it around Christmas. I don't think I only played it once. I mentioned it last week for the 3 to 6 people that follow this podcast. You know, I've been using my old flute that is desperately needs to be repaired. Or thrown away. I don't know. I'll have to figure out at some point. To repair, it's going to cost some money. So it was cheaper to get a new flute. But and then I got paranoid about using it, blah, blah, blah. And because I'd have to care for it more. But you know what? I'm going to care for this flute. I cared for it. Right, first of all, I cared for it from the beginning today. I brushed my teeth. Not to say I don't usually brush my teeth when I play the other one, but I just was conscious. I said, you know, I had I'm doing this in the early part of the day, the early part of the day for me. And I had some coffee, I had a little bit of something to eat, and then I said, you know what? I want my breath fresh, minty fresh, so that when it meets my breath, meets the flute goes, whoa, nice breath. So that's it, and I think hopefully it came out sounding good. I did a little testing before I went into the actual recording of the show today. But then I realized that when I started playing it on this round, I blew kind of hard because I could. So I hope it's not too loud. And if it is, turn down the volume on the flute and then turn it back up on my beautiful voice. But now it really sounds like the call to worship, the call to worship the podcast. And so so I'm very excited about playing my new flute. It is, you know, I like to report on the weather when I do this briefly, and it is, you know, Los Angeles today, it is partly cloudy, and it's about 60 degrees, which is cold for out here, and I don't like partly cloudy. It sounds too negative. Why can't it be partly sunny? You know, why can't it be, what, is it half empty or half full? But it is cloudy, and, but it's still great. And this week, the work continues on getting rid of the pool. I mean, they've pretty much gotten rid of the pool. I should have taken a picture of the most recent thing. I didn't do it. And at this point, it's just kind of maybe anticlimactic. There's a lot of, looks like a mud pit with wires and stuff. I might take a picture. I don't know. We'll see. But they had a different set of workers. Than they had last week. There was actually two guys. And again, not guys that, you know, really don't speak English. You know, it makes me wonder, are they just going to Home Depot in front and hiring these people? I don't know. It's possible. But these guys seem kind of competent. I mean, they're doing the work. I see progress, although I have no idea. I mean, things look like they're moving in the right direction, but I am not a construction kind of guy, so I don't know. I can't say, well, that plank over there, that little wire is leaning to the left. I don't know. Hopefully it's going to work out pretty good. It's fun. The pool, I'm going to miss the pool. Even though I didn't use it, it was just nice. I realized it was nice to have that body of water there. And some people used it. One little girl that grew up here, she used it. I feel bad that she's not going to be able to use it anymore. But we won't have certain things happening anymore. Like one time, a delivery guy came into the building for delivering some food, and you know, the pool is in the middle. It's like a courtyard, and apparently he fell into the pool. He was looking for the apartment to go into, and somehow he fell into the pool. That's some serious not looking where you're going. I understand. I've been guilty of, you know, tripping over things and not looking where I'm going. But, you know, the pool was kind of, you have kind of a heads up, because as you're walking, it's not like you walk in the building and as soon as you walk in, there's like a moat. You know, there was kind of a ways to go. And so I don't know, whatever. The guy fell in and it was kind of funny. I mean, I wasn't there when it happened, but I heard about it. I laughed. I laughed like crazy. So the work continues, and it's interesting. was talking to, Gus, the on-site manager who's rarely on-site, and he pointed to a piece of work. He goes, look at this. Look what they did. And it was like, that was something that was done from the other crew like about a week or two ago. And Gus, who lives about 9 feet, his front door is 9 feet from that work, just noticed it. So either he needs to spend a little more time on site or he needs to be a little bit more observant. I think maybe a little bit of both would be helpful. And these guys that are working here, nice. They seem like nice guys. You know, I talk a little bit of Spanish to them. I think they make them giggle a little bit. And these guys are soft spoken. They're not talking loud. They're not even the work they're doing isn't. I mean, there's a lot of banging and hammering, but it's not like the jackhammering that happened last week. Anyway, I don't know how much longer it's going to go on. One of the guys has, some people get their ears lobes pierced, but not just pierced. They just take out, it looks like they take a huge chunk out of their earlobes and they stick an earring in it. And, one of the guys had that. I said, wait, what did you do with the earlobes? He goes, oh, that's so big. He goes, no, only 3/4 inch. So I guess for him, a 3/4 inch hole in his earlobe isn't that big. But for me, it is and was and will be. Sometimes I get self-conscious when I do this. I feel like, man, this is so boring. Who's going to want to listen to this? But I know at least 3 to 6 people that will listen to this. And so, maybe it'll be okay. Well, you know, what the heck? It's free. Give me a break. I'm in my apartment by myself looking at the microwave, an old box of Quaker Oats that I haven't eaten in over a year. My stove, my Mr. Coffee Maker. Just me. I'm not playing to an audience. Give a guy a break. All right, enough paranoia. So I had a little bit of an iPhone scare this week. I had my iPhone in my pocket, and it kind of goes kind of to sleep a little bit, when you're not using it. And I only had it in there for a little bit, and so usually you press the home button, little round button on the bottom, and it comes on, and then you slide to unlock it. And I pushed the home button, and nothing happened. It was like nothing's going on. I pushed it again, and nothing. It was just darkness, blackness, void. And I started to panic, and I said to my friend Rick, hey, my phone, it's not working. And he said, let me see it. So he started to, do the same thing. And he's like, oh, man, oh, yeah, it's not working here. And then he went over and he had a charger there, and he said, well, let's see, maybe it's the battery's gone. I go, how the battery can't be gone? I was at 98% when I came in. And then my friend Bill goes, how do you know it's at 98%? I said, because I have it set so I can see the percentage, because I'm obsessive compulsive about these things. I knew it was about 96% at the most. It couldn't have just drained in 6 minutes. And so Rick put it on the charger. Excuse me, I had a little burpy thing happening there. He put it on the charger, and nothing happened. And I was doing a good job, I think, of not panicking on the outside, but inside I was kind of mortified here. No iPhone, no. And then Rick did something. He hit the top button and the home button, and he just held on to those for like about 10 seconds, and then it came back on. I guess he reset it, and then it's been okay ever since. So I don't know. Maybe it's a glitch. I start to obsess. Oh, my God, what's happening? And every time the phone would go to sleep and I would put it back on, I would like, oh, is it going to be dead again? Oh, what's happening? And it's crazy because my friend Bill points out, well, I've seen my friend Bill points out, you know, like 3 months ago, you didn't even have a phone. And that's true. He's absolutely right. But now that I have one, I am so, you know, reliant on it. I'm so addicted to certain aspects of it. You know, I'm a texting maniac, first of all. You know, I don't play games, but I have this thing called Pandora Radio where I can listen to, you know, artists on my phone. And I don't know, I was just very sad that my iPhone was, you know, could be going down. And then the thing that gets me is that I want answers. I want to be able to call Apple. Give me the Apple answer department. I want to say, what happened? And they go say, well, what happened is blah, 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 blah. Then I go, okay, what should I do? And they go, blah, blah, blah. Okay, thank you so much. I want concrete answers. I don't want speculation but, you know, there is no real, I mean, you could call the Apple and you're going to get somebody who may know something, may not know something. So my go-to thing is I go to Google now, which I learned from a friend of mine, my friend Jess, for technological questions. I go there and I try to find out answers to my technological dilemmas. And I went there and I Googled, trouble with the home button. And then they came up with some stuff that was current. Took me to the Apple forums. You know, it's funny. It's just Apple forums, just customers just talking to each other across the globe about, oh, what happened with your, oh, yes, do this, press down on that, do this. And, you know, and you get some people say do a reset. There was one consensus that we have recently done a software update that I dutifully now, due to my friend Wesley's advice, whenever there's a software update anywhere, anytime, on my MacBook or on my phone, I do it. Usually do it right away. But apparently, according to some on the forum, there's a glitch in that software and it kind of affects phones sometimes. I don't know. I guess it makes sense. I tend to think like it's supposed to be perfect, but you know, it's made by people. You know, and I just don't want to deal with. I don't want to deal with having to go to the Apple store. You know, I only go to the Apple store when I want to buy something. I don't want to have to go to the Genius Bar because, you know, the Apple, it's just a big cluster F-bomb. It always, you know, it's because it draws a lot of people who just want to play with things and look at things and, you know, stuff like that. So that happened. And so I went on the Apple forums. And then that sent me to YouTube where there was a tutorial and some guy gave some tutorial about something, about putting your something in. I don't know. It just seemed like confusing. So as the days go on and my phone keeps continuously working, my anxiety lessens and I think we're good. I think we're good. And if it happens again, I'll just reset it. And if, you know, we'll work it out. We'll work it out. You know, I'm not going to make myself crazy over this. Because I already have. Because that's, you know, that's my go-to mental state is. Ah! It's part of my tribe, the Ashkenazi Jews. Ah, the Cossacks are coming. Ah, so I take the Cossacks are coming, and I go. Ah, my iPhone is not working. Big difference, right? My ancestors are fleeing Cossacks, and I'm worried about the fact that I might not be able to text Wesley and ask him what time he's coming over tomorrow. One of the things I'm thoroughly addicted to on my iPhone is my camera. Cause I've never been a photographer. I never owned a camera. I don't think maybe when I was a little kid, I might've owned one, but, I don't know. Cameras were always confusing and I don't know. I'm just, to me, I'm, you know, I didn't know setting it up right. I don't know. I just wasn't that good at it. But with the iPhone, you can be kind of an idiot. A phone idiot or a camera idiot, like or camera challenged, I like to say, politically correct word, camera challenged. And so I become addicted, you know, and you can use this if you're camera challenged. You can use the iPhone the camera on the iPhone and take great pictures. And so I have become obsessed with taking pictures. I'll have moments where I'll talk to somebody and it'll just hit me. I'll go, hey, I got to take a picture of you right now. Some people, these are people I know. I mean, somewhat. I'm not everyone I know really well. Some are just people at the supermarket who I see all the time, but I'm friendly with. But even people I know fairly well don't always want their picture taken, especially women. Not even women. There's one guy. No, no, I don't. They don't want their picture. Oh, no, take it another time. No, no. But I was at the grocery supermarket store, and I asked this one guy, Willie, this Filipino guy. I said, hey, can I take your picture? And he goes, no. No, you'll just put it on Facebook. And I was like, and that's the big fear. It's like people are, you know, that's what people want to know. What are you doing with these pictures? I'm not doing anything. I'm just keeping them on my phone. You know, people I know, and I'll look at them. But I'm not going to put your picture on Facebook without telling you, hey, I'm going to put your picture on Facebook. You know, I don't put that many pictures on Facebook or places like that. But Willie was like, no, you're just going to put it on Facebook. So I realize for people who are self-conscious, you know, Willie's a guy who stocks shelves at the store. He checks out the checker. He does checker. They call him up when it's busy to check. He's been working there for like 20 some years. You know, he's not a guy that wants to draw a lot of attention to himself, I guess, you know. And so, you know, I could see where, he would feel like, hey, I don't know this guy. He's going to put my picture on Facebook and make me look stupid or something. But that's not my intention. So he would not let me take his picture. And then there's a girl who works as one of the baggers. And she, her name is Rosie. And Rosie, she's married, but she got a little bit of a crush on me. She flirts with me. She's been in this country. She's from, I think, Mexico, one of the countries where I speak Spanish down there. Pretty sure it's Mexico. Could be El Salvador. But I think it's Mexico. I'm not sure. She's been in this country about 19, 20 years. And she has about 19, 20 words of English that she actually knows. This is true. And I guess it's easy for people, especially in Southern California, if you come from a Spanish-speaking country, to stay insulated in your community and not really learn the language. But she knows just enough to do the job. You know, get double paper, plastic. You know, no, put the water on the side, please. The water on the side. But I'm, you know, always kidding around with her. And I realize she probably doesn't know what I'm saying half the time. You know, but she's always giggling. And she's like, and she'll give me these looks. So, and actually, she had this look of jealousy one day because I was talking to this other girl, this Filipino woman, who I kind of have a crush on. I bought her some candy. And then Rosie gave me this look like, you know, like she was going to, you know, like, how dare you? But, so I keep asking Rosie, I want to take your picture. And she goes, no, no. I go, why not? No. And she looks away and she turns red. And I go, what's the big deal? I just want to take a picture. And then this other lady, Rosa, the one from a week or two ago who asked me if I was retired, she goes, you shouldn't ask her to take a picture. She's married. I go, what's that got to do with it? I'm not going to put it on a porno site. I just like, she's kind of like a friend, an acquaintance of mine. I mean, somebody, you know, I want to document that I know her. I mean, what's the big deal? This lady pissed me off, this Rosa, because she's adding her 2 cents and it had, you know. That's another thing when people start acting, what are you going to do with the picture? When they start kind of making it like there's some weird connotation that you're going to do with the pictures. So Rosie finally, she said to me that next time, so next time you let me take a picture, next time, I promise. And I go, okay. And so the next time that I came in there, I asked her if I could take her picture. And she said, no, that's how she talks, me no. And I was like, well, you promised, no, me. So I thought I would use reverse psychology on her. I said, okay, because I don't want to like sneak a picture. Although I took a picture of another lady and Rosie was in the background, but I want like a more closer picture, just a, you know, front view of her face. And so I thought I would use reverse psychology on her. And I said, hey, Rosie, guess what? She goes, what? I said, I don't want to take your picture anymore. And she says, good. And I go, oh, that didn't work. And I lasted for about, you know, a minute. I go, no, I was just trying to trick you. No, I do want to take your picture. No, you promised. No. So I should probably, I think I'll just stop asking her because I don't want to make her, then it's going to become uncomfortable. It's becoming uncomfortable for me because I'm a phone predator. So I will stop. I will stop that. I will stop that. A few more things here on my agenda. I called a friend of mine at work this week who's a security guard. He's an armed security guard. So don't mess with me. He's my friend. And he was, I called him when I thought he would be at work. And another guy answered. And there's a Filipino guy. And I go, hi, I'm looking for, calling for Joey. And the guy goes, she's not here. I'm thinking, did he say she's not here? I go, oh, he's not coming today. She's not coming today. She's sick. I said, okay. Thank you. And then like the next day, I start talking to Joey. I go, hey, were you sick yesterday? And he was like, nah, something happened. And his family had to take care of it. But I said, you know, when I called over, the guy that answered, I don't know if I was kind of heard him wrong because of his Filipino accent. But he said that she's not here. He referred to you as she. And he goes, you know, I've told this guy a million times. He goes, I've told him to the difference between he and she, which is unusual because usually Filipino people, when they come to this country, they can speak English really well. So he's told them. So I don't know. I had a joke about that, and I can't think of it right now. Ah, shoot. Something to do with pronouns, because that's a pronoun, right? Anyway, maybe I'll think about it another time, and I'll do it. I'll do it here. I'll do it on stage. But it's funny. I didn't hear it wrong. The guy said, she's not here. Oh, she's not here. And I was thinking, well, maybe he wants Joey to be a she. Maybe he's kind of that way. So I don't know. Whatever. I guess I'll wrap up on this. You know, my mom, you know, I told you, you know, that she's, you know, been gone through some health challenges and she's been doing decently lately. Thank God for that. And, you know, I used to call my family, you know, maybe once, twice a week. But, you know, now, you know, because of, you know, she's older and every, you know, I call like every day. I check in every day. It's just a thing I do. I check in every day. And so I've got this new thing. I mean, there's not a whole lot to talk about my parents. You know, we talk about the weather and what the weather's like there, what the weather's like here. You know, I've never really opened up that much about my life. They didn't really seem to be all that interested or be able to fathom, you know, stuff in my life. Whatever, it's fine. But it seems like so once a week I do my laundry. And so once a week, and my mother's always asking me, what are you doing today? And it's like, well, I'm working on this, or I'm working on that, or I'm doing over, going over here. And so once a week, I tell my mother that I'm doing my laundry. And she's been having an odd reaction lately. Like, she goes, again with the laundry? Every time I talk to you, you're doing laundry. Which is an odd reaction from my mother, who taught me and made me do laundry. I was one of my chores as a kid. I had to do the laundry. When I reached a certain age, I had to do the family laundry. And it's almost like she's taunting me, like, you know, what are you, a girl? What are you, a girl, doing your laundry all the time, every day, doing laundry? It's like I'm doing it once a week. And those that know me in life, no, I'm not exactly a clothes horse, so it's not like I have a lot of things to clean, but I like to, you know, I like to make sure that I am clean. So I just thought that was a very interesting reaction from my mom. I'm doing laundry, and she was always like, oh, that's good. Good to do your laundry. Just like, again, every time I talk to you, doing laundry. So, All right. I don't know. I'm feeling, maybe it's the weather. I'm feeling a little gloomy. I feel like maybe my energy was a little bit off, but I don't know. I'll listen to it later. I guess it's okay. You guys will forgive me. The guys that, you know, hang in there with me. You know, sometimes it's going to be better than others. Sometimes it's not going to be better than others. Can't always be the same. I'm not a robot. But anyway, I do appreciate those who listen. Thank you all for listening. And again, I'm going to start mentioning, if you happen to think about it, you know, you want to tell somebody about, that you, you know, tell somebody, hey, you should check out this podcast. Please do. I'm not asking you to go out there and proselytize like a born again. You know, I want you to go over, you know, excuse me, but do you know Al's podcast? No, I don't want you to do that. But if it happens, you know, you feel like it, you moved in that direction, please. Please, I could use all the help I get in bringing an audience to this. I want to keep doing this. It's a great creative outlet for me. And perhaps someday it will reap some business rewards. Perhaps not, but that's neither here nor there at this point. Again, thank you so much. So until next time, this is Al Berman, live from a studio apartment in North Hollywood, California.